Well, good morning, fellowship. Man, it is good to be together. We thought it'd be good on Labor Day for us to get all of our venues together and just be one big family. So let me say this, welcome Warehouse and Chapel to the Worship Center. It is good to be together. So we hope you're having a great Labor Day weekend. We hope that continues. If you're new to us, we're particularly glad that you're with us today. I want to encourage you after the service today, drop by the Connection Center. Just let us get to know you a little bit. It is a great time to be here at Fellowship because we're in a series called Making Space. And we've been talking about what does it look like as people to show hospitality. As the people of God, how do we show hospitality out there? And really, if you think about hospitality, man, it's really been hijacked in our culture today by people like Martha Stewart and the Food Network. And, you know, hospitality's kind of been reduced down to decorating your house for the holidays or having, you know, kind of fancy dinners at your home. And those things aren't bad. We even do some of those things at our home. But what we've been learning together is that when the Bible talks about hospitality, it's talking about something so much bigger and so much grander than just that. In fact, let me kind of give you a definition of hospitality, because when the Bible talks about hospitality, it almost always talks about it in relation to the stranger. Or sometimes the Bible will use the word alien, depending on the translation that you have. And the idea is showing God's kindness and his goodness to the stranger in our life. And so let me give you a definition of hospitality, really using the title of our series, Making Space. Biblical hospitality is this: it's making space for people outside your friend group. It's really that simple. The idea is making space for people that would be outside of your kind of normal network of friends and relationships. And showing those people kindness and doing good to those people. Hospitality is really opening up our lives to maybe people that believe differently than we do and act differently than we do. And the Bible is awfully serious about hospitality. I don't know if you know that. There's a lot of different verses that we could look at and talk about today, but I'm just going to draw your attention to two as we kind of begin our time together today. First, turn in your Bible with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We've talked about this verse a few weeks back, but I want to mention it again. Just the seriousness of hospitality in the Scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And here's what it says. It says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. And listen to this. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. See, hospitality is so central to what it means to be a follower of Jesus that we're to show hospitality to each other whether we feel like it or not, whether it exhausts us or not. Notice it doesn't say here, all you extroverts show hospitality. See, I think for some of us that are maybe more introverted in nature, when we think of hospitality, man, it just kind of overwhelms us. It brings a certain level of anxiety to us as we think about kind of opening up our lives, maybe opening up our homes. We just can't imagine such a thing. And yet Peter here is really challenging the introvert and the extrovert. And saying, you know what, if you love and follow Jesus, you're to be a person of hospitality. And you're to do that without grumbling. So hospitality, there's a level of seriousness and weight to it in the Scriptures for those of us that follow after Jesus. In fact, the Bible is so serious about hospitality that those people that hold the highest office in the church. We call those elders, the scriptures calls them elders as well, are to be hospitable people. I want you to look at this. Turn over to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 1, verse 8. Now, this is also mentioned in Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3. But here we see these qualifications or characteristics. There's two places in Scripture where we get a list of qualifications. I'm going to get this right here in a moment. Or characteristics about elders. And I want you to notice this, what it says about an elder in the church. It says hospitable. A lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. So God takes hospitality so seriously that in order for someone to be an elder in his church, they must be a hospitable person. He has to be able to open up his life and to show kindness to those who believe differently and maybe act differently than he does. Now, why is God so serious about hospitality? And I think the reason he's so serious about it is because God has been incredibly hospitable to you and to me. In fact, God's hospitality is most completely and perfectly shown to us in Jesus Christ, who, when we were strangers and enemies of God, having rebelled against God's loving rule, having gone our own way in our sin, God lovingly went after us to make space for us in his family through Jesus Christ. Here's the way Colossians says that. Colossians 1 says, "And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." Ephesians 2:13 says it a little different way, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ." See, we were alienated from God, cut off from God because of our sin. But God went after us and brought us near. If you think about it, he showed us radical hospitality. And what that means is that hospitality sits at the very center of what it means to be a Christ follower. At the very center of Christianity is God making space for you when you were far off and you were stuck in your sin. God, in his grace, brought you into his family. And friends, this is the heart of the gospel. The heart of the gospel that by God's gracious hospitality through Jesus, we have been brought into a relationship with God. And so the more clearly I see myself as someone who was once far off from God, as someone who was once trapped in my sin, the more I will see the reason for being hospitable toward other people. Because when I was a stranger, when I was an alien, God showed me amazing grace and brought me near to him. And his gracious hospitality is now what fuels my hospitality toward other people. See, we make space for those who are outside our friend group because God, in his grace, through his son Jesus, has made space for us. Do you see how this works? We see a hospitable God from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. This God is very welcoming of people, showing kindness and goodness to people like us who were once far off and alienated and strangers ourselves. And God, in his loving mercy and grace, saw that we were desperate, that left to ourselves that there was no way that we would ever make it into God's family. But in his hospitable spirit, God sent the most beautiful, amazing, perfect gift, his son Jesus, to come to live, to die, to ultimately be raised. as the most radical gift of hospitality that he could ever give to us, so that we could now come into his family. And so the reason God takes hospitality and the hospitality of his people so seriously is he's been incredibly hospitable to us. And one of the ways that we're countercultural, if you will, in this world is by practicing hospitality, is being kind and doing good to the stranger, to those outside of our normal circle of friends. So how do we do this? How do we practice this kind of hospitality that God has shown us? Now, a few weeks ago, really, I want you to think of this series almost like building a house, if you will. The first 2 weeks, and I encourage you, if you missed that, I encourage you to go back and listen to those two messages. Really, what we did in the first 2 weeks is really lay the foundation of what it means and looks like to show hospitality. And what we're doing in building terms today and into next week is we're going to build the rest of the house. And you really need to think of today and next week in a more practical, pragmatic way about how we really show hospitality and what the purpose of hospitality is. So today really is going to be real practical. We're going to begin to kind of frame things up. We're going to lay some sheetrock. We're going to mud that thing. We're even going to begin to paint things. Next week, we're going to come in and put in the finishing touches. And hopefully at the end of that, we're going to have this beautiful house that we can all look at that's very inviting and hospitable to everybody to come in and engage us relationally. So let's talk about just in real practical terms here, how do we show hospitality to the people in our life, okay? I'm going to give you several ways. There's a lot of ways that you can practice hospitality. These are just several ways. You'll see them there on your outline. Here's the first one. Are you ready for this? Be friendly with people. Now, I know that seems like a no-brainer, but can I be honest with some of you? You are grumpy, okay? You just are. You don't smile. You don't greet people. You don't say hello. You wonder why people at work, when they see you coming down the hall, you know what they do? They move completely to the other side of the hall and they look down, right? There's a reason for that. Now, it sounds simple enough. There is power, friends, when we simply look at people and greet people and smile at people and just say hello. We communicate value to that person. It says to that person, you mean something to us. There's power there. Some of you are almost like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Do you remember that cat? I think he was a donkey, not a cat, but you remember him? Oh, no. You remember that guy? Man, just be friendly to people. It's one of the easiest ways that we can practice hospitality. And yet some of you aren't doing it. You know, when our kids were really young, Jenny and I tell you, man, we were really on our kids about being friendly and engaging with people and greeting people. And so every time that somebody new would come up, you know, we'd tell our kids, and man, we did this over and over again. Look them in the eye. Look them in the eye, smile, stick out your hand, and say, nice to meet you. And here's the last thing, give them a firm handshake, right? Let me tell you something. We did this. It was an exhausting process, okay, of correcting and training our kids over years to do this. By the way, I encourage you, test my kids in this, okay? Test a minute. Now, they're not perfect in it, but I bet you more times than not they're going to greet you just like this, because we went through an exhausting process of training our kids, correcting our kids on this, and here's why. I wanted my kids to grow up and understand the value of being friendly, of being hospitable to people, to knowing how to greet people and the importance of that value and what that communicates to the other person. There's power in that. And this stuff is just simple. And yet so often we're not practicing this. Man, just a couple of weeks ago, I went to lunch with somebody new to our church, and they're kind of new to the area. They've been here maybe a year or so, and they've been checking out different churches, and they came to our Benton campus, and they just loved it, and they're plugging in there. And so as I was having lunch, I finally just asked him, I said, man, you've been visiting all these churches and going around. Why'd you choose Fellowship? You know, I thought he was going to say it's because of the awesome teaching, but he didn't, and I'm just kidding. But, you know, he looked at me, and what he said was, he said, you know what? We visited all these churches, and Fellowship was the first church we came in where somebody spoke to us and was friendly to us. And he said, my wife and I looked at each other when we left that church, and we said, this is our home. Guys, it's just the small stuff that matters. Now, I'm not talking about just being friendly at church, because we can all put on a face here. I'm talking about being friendly when you're at the grocery store, being friendly at work, being friendly when you're at cheer practice for your daughter, and just engaging people and greeting people. There's a certain hospitality that just comes with that. And there's power in that, just in that little simple thing. The second thing I want to mention, a way that we can show hospitality, is to see the people around us. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Part of the reason some of us don't practice hospitality is, truth be known, we don't see people. And let me show you the importance of that. Matthew 25. I encourage you to read this and look over this in more detail this afternoon. It is an incredible parable that Jesus tells. It's often referred to as the parable of the sheep and goats. And it really is giving a picture of what it's going to look like when Jesus comes back for the second time. By the way, you do realize Jesus is coming back, don't you? Thank you. And it says in Philippians that if you're discouraged about where our country and our world is, that it says that every knee will bow when Jesus Christ comes back. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And on my really bad days, and there's a lot of them these days, that gives me hope, friends. Yes, Jesus is coming back. And look what it says about that day and that moment in this parable of the sheep and goats, verse 41 of chapter 25. It says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Doesn't sound very friendly, does it? For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. 43, I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Excuse me. Then he will answer them saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, there is something absolutely fundamental to hospitality that's buried here in this parable. And I do not want you to miss this or to overlook this. I want you to notice that this whole passage hinges on seeing. Seeing people. It says in verse 44, notice, and you can circle this in your Bible, when did we see you? Jesus, when did we see you hungry and alone? When did we see you as a stranger and in prison? When did we see you? Now, it's clear that the righteous people saw other people. They saw their need, but the unrighteous, the wicked here, didn't see them at all. They weren't seeing people. See, hospitality has to do with seeing the stranger, seeing the outsider, seeing the broken, seeing the people in our lives who are in need. And the righteous, notice, saw the brokenness and the hurt, and they were doing something about it. And quite frankly, the reason some of you are not showing hospitality is because of exactly what Jesus is saying here. Your eyes are not open to the people that are in your life. Your eyes are not open to people's situations and their problems and their hurts, and so you're not going after them to bring them in. And hospitality is about seeing other people, seeing all their flaws and their imperfections, seeing them as human beings who need the good news of Jesus, and then making space for them. So one of the ways that we really show hospitality is we begin to see the people in our life. We see their problems, we see their spiritual needs, we see their struggles, and we move into that. We make space for them in our lives. And the reason for some of us not showing hospitality is, quite frankly, we're just not seeing the people around us, the strangers that are among us. You don't have to go look for them. God already has them right in your life. But oftentimes we're not looking for them. We just don't see them. Just like the people here in the parable of the sheep and the goats. Now, the last thing I'll mention about hospitality and how to show hospitality, we've said a lot about this, and so I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on this, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention it, is to share meals with people. You know, good food and good company, the Bible calls that holy. It's good to be with people. Now, remember, we're talking about hospitality as making space for people that are outside of our circle of friends. And so we need to have meals with our friends and our D group, and those can be amazing and good times together, but we also need to have meals in which there are people around our table who do not believe like we believe. People who do not know the God of the Bible. Now, they're not our projects. Instead, we're inviting them into our lives so that we might know them and love them and walk with them through the struggles of life. And by the way, a meal doesn't have to be a home-cooked meal at your home. There's lots of ways that we can kind of do life with the stranger over meals. It could be grabbing a coffee with a coworker. It could be going to dinner with a new family at your kid's school. It could be you making a meal for maybe a sick neighbor who's far from God. All of those are ways that we can practice hospitality to those who might be outside of our kind of normal circle of friends, where we're being hospitable to the stranger. There's all kinds of ways that we can share a meal and show people the kindness and the goodness of God, beyond just having a meal in our home. Although oftentimes that's a wonderful and a beautiful thing, and I encourage us to do that, but there's other ways as well. Now, of course, as you can imagine, in Scripture, there's all kinds of ways, practically, that we can show hospitality to those that are outside of our friend network. There's all kinds of things we were doing. Many of you are already doing those things. These are just a few practical ways that we can show hospitality to the people that are in our lives. But let me ask you this question. Why do we practice hospitality? Why does the Scripture want us to show hospitality to others? Why does it matter? What's the purpose of it? And I love that Dustin Willis, in his book called The Simplest Way to Change the World, we've referenced this book before, and many of our small groups are using this book because it's a book all about hospitality. I love what he says. He actually calls this the end goal of hospitality. And the end goal of hospitality is to be able to share the good news with someone who is far from him. That's the end goal of hospitality, is to be able to share the good news of Jesus with someone who's far from him. See, this isn't just about eating and drinking and spending time with people who we might not normally spend time with. It's about doing those things so that we might have the special and unique opportunity to have a spiritual conversation with them about Jesus. Now, don't miss this. Hospitality is both about opening up our life / opening up our home, if you will, but it's also about opening up our mouth and sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Now, do you know what I mean when I say the gospel and the good news of Jesus? Do you know why we say it's good news? It is good news because what we believe is that God has made a way through the life, the death, and the resurrection of His Son Jesus for anyone and everyone, no matter who they are, no matter what they've ever done, to find hope and forgiveness and mercy through the work of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. And by the way, this book contains the gospel or the good news of Jesus. So when we talk about that, that's what we're talking about. And the Bible says that hospitality is a way for us to share this good news with other people that are in our life. The strangers among us, the outsider, those who may be far from God. And so we want to open up our life. We also want to open up our mouth. Here's the way Paul talks about it in 1 Thessalonians 2:8. He says this about this. He says, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us." And here we see this importance. We see Paul saying, you know what? It's important for me to open up my life to the people of Thessalonica, but at the same time, I want to share with you the good news of Jesus. I want to have a spiritual conversation with you where you can hear and hopefully believe in the good news of Jesus. See, that's the end goal of hospitality. It's more than just kind of entertaining people in our lives. It's more than just being friendly. It's more than just having a meal or a cup of coffee. Yes, all of that's important, but all of that has a greater purpose, and that greater purpose is to be able to hopefully one day share the greatest story, the most beautiful news that anyone could ever hear, and that is that Jesus loves them, and Jesus came to die for them and to save them from their sins. That Jesus is come and made space for them in God's family. Now, how do we do that? How do we have spiritual conversations with people as we're showing hospitality? Because some of you are scared to death about this. And I'm going to share with you real quickly just three simple ways that we can engage people as we're showing hospitality to them and have spiritual conversations with them. And I think you're going to find it's really not as hard and as difficult and as challenging as maybe you think it is. Here's the first thing. The first thing is this: listen for the knots. Yes, you heard me right. Listen for the knots. Now, we've already talked about the importance of seeing people. Now, let's talk about the importance of listening to people. Because a lot of us miss opportunities to have spiritual conversations with people because, quite frankly, we're not listening. And so we miss all of these moments to engage them in conversation as we're showing them hospitality. And years ago, I had someone challenge me in my life about listening to the knots. And this has become a huge part of my life and my ministry, and so I'm going to share it with you. Because I can just tell you, I have seen it bear a lot of fruit in my life. And so if you don't listen to much today, I hope you'll listen to this, because this might help you as you think about engaging the stranger and engaging those who are far from you. I tell you, there's great power when you hear the knots from people. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. My marriage is not where I want it to be. Listen. My finances are not going well. Things are not where I want them to be at work. My kids are not listening to me. Do you hear the knot? And every time I tune in when I'm in relationship with people and I'm in conversation with people and I hear a knot What I hear is a unique opportunity. This person has spiritual need. This might be an opportunity for me to have a spiritual conversation. If it's not, this might be a person that I want to make space for in my life. And to begin to show them hospitality with the hopes that maybe sometime in the future, I can have a spiritual conversation with them. Listen for the knots. When I came here 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago, to be a teaching pastor, I know you'll find this surprising, but I went to a football practice for one of my kids. I know. And while I was there, I bumped into a guy I went to college with. I hadn't seen this guy in 20 years. And we got in kind of a casual conversation, and he asked me what had kind of brought me back to Little Rock and what I was doing. I told him I was a pastor at Fellowship. And by the way, if you want to kill a spiritual conversation, there is nothing better to say than to tell them you're a pastor, I promise you. And so the conversation kind of wrapped up awkwardly, and he left. And I'll tell you, every day thereafter at practice, we just had a conversation. It's kind of the stuff, really the superficial stuff that a lot of us guys talk about. Razorback football, weather, hunting, his fantasy team, all those kinds of things. This went on for months at practice, just having a conversation. All of a sudden, out of the blue, we were having one of those kind of very shallow conversations. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, he just said to me, "You know what, Mark? Things are not going well right now in my marriage." Now, did you hear the knot there? In the Holy Spirit, I just kind of felt him come up in me. Now's your time. I just looked at him. I said, "Man, I definitely know the challenges of being married. Let me tell you, Jenny and I have been through our own struggles. Let me tell you, I don't know how we would have made it apart from our faith in Jesus Christ. And you know, we just try to keep Jesus at the center of our marriage." And that kind of just began a little dialogue there about that and about marriage and a little bit about Jesus. It wasn't very long. And right before we were wrapping up, I just looked at him and I said, "Hey, if you want to find out more about this Jesus guy, let me invite you to come to church to fellowship sometime." And he just kind of looked at me and said, "Man, that's kind of your thing, and you kind of do your thing, and I'll do my thing." And I said, "Hey, no pressure. No pressure. I get it. No pressure." We just left it there. I just kind of dropped Jesus in there and just left it. Okay? Because, by the way, Jesus does the work. He does the work. So I just waited week after week, and all of a sudden I got a text one weekend. He said, "Man, I'm going to come to fellowship." Do you know he has been here ever since? Ever since. And Jesus is just growing him. And while his marriage isn't perfect, that marriage is still together. It's getting stronger. And I want you to hear me, friends. Jesus has done all of that. I didn't do that. All I did was listen for the knot. And all I did in that moment, just in a short moment, in a little spiritual conversation, just kind of dropped Jesus in there. And the Holy Spirit did the rest of the work. Listen for the knots. You will be amazed at how many people at work, on your kid's sports team, every area of your life, they're going to drop knots on you, and it's an incredible opportunity. And they're just telling you, "I have a need in my life." And in most of those situations, if not all of them, Jesus is the answer. Here's the second thing I'll mention to you. Ask good spiritual questions. Notice I said good. As you're showing hospitality to people, ask open-ended, good spiritual questions for people. "Hey, what do you think about God? What are your thoughts about the Bible?" Let me tell you one of my favorite questions that I like to ask people. What is your spiritual story? Write that down. It's a great question to ask people. What is your spiritual story? Here's what I found. No matter what people believe about God or Jesus, or even think about spiritual things, they are more than willing to tell you what their spiritual story is. And you do realize that everybody has a spiritual story. But a whole lot of people don't have Jesus in their story. But everybody has a spiritual story, and everybody loves talking about themselves. And I am amazed time and time again, people will tell me their story, no matter what they believe about God or Jesus or any of that. And then what I'll try to do at the end of that is I'll say, "Can I tell you my story?" And I'll tell them a little bit about how Jesus has changed my life and how Jesus is real to me. And here's what I found. No one can argue with your story. No one can say your story is a lie, because it's your story. It's a very non-threatening way to get in a spiritual conversation with people that are maybe far from God in your life as you practice hospitality with them. Then here's the last thing that I'll mention to you. The last thing is we need to take the initiative to share Jesus with others. Here's why I say that. Most of us in here are very passive about having spiritual conversations with people. Man, we're all for people having spiritual conversations. In fact, today you're saying, man, Mark, I'm so glad you're talking about it, as long as it's not you. As long as somebody else is doing it, right? Like, I love the conversations I get into in the lobby sometimes. Somebody will come up, Mark, man, I finally got my lost friend from work here. Man, are you preaching today? Yeah, I'm preaching today. Man, you have got to bring it today. I hope you're good today. Right? Man, I hope finally you're good, right? And listen, I love when we bring our lost people here on Sunday morning. This is where I invite a lot of my lost friends to come. And every Sunday, we're going to herald the gospel of Jesus, okay? But here's what I want you to hear. My role as a teaching pastor is to equip you for the work of ministry. Ephesians 4. So that you can take the initiative and share the good news with your lost friend. Because God has put you in your lost friend's life, not me. God has put you in your neighborhood, not me. God has put you in your workplace, not me. And He's put you in those places and He's put you in those relationships because He wants you to show hospitality. And as you show hospitality, over time, when the time is right and it's appropriate for you to engage that person and share Jesus with them, to take the initiative. Now, if you're here today and maybe you lack confidence in that, maybe you feel like, you know what, Mark, I've never really been equipped about how to have spiritual conversations or engage the stranger in my life or people that are far from God. Well, guess what? Something I'm really excited about that we're starting here at Fellowship is a 3-week class that's going to start this fall. We're going to offer it twice this next year, called Sharing the Story. Sharing the Story. What we're going to do over these 3 weeks is we're going to teach you very practically about how to engage lost people in your life and have spiritual conversations with them. I want to encourage you, if you're here today and you don't have to raise your hand, but maybe it's been a long time or perhaps never that you've engaged in a spiritual conversation and actually shared Jesus with someone, this would be a great class for you to come to, because we're going to help you and give you the tools to be able to do that. Now, I got to tell you, my hope and my prayer for us as a church is that we won't just talk about hospitality. Because, man, it's easy to get in here and to talk about it. It's another thing to actually practice it, to live it out there. And my hope and dream is we'll be living that hospitality out there, and as we do that, that we'll be able to engage people with the life-changing power and truth, the good news of Jesus. And then maybe over time we'll see just more and more lives changed here through your hospitality, through my hospitality to the stranger. Let's pray together. Father, I really do want to pray in this moment that maybe you would put, even right now, some people on our hearts. Maybe some faces and names in our minds, that maybe we would even right now begin to prayerfully consider how we might invite them into our lives, how we might open up our lives and our tables to them, how we might share our story with them, how you would help us to get into conversations with them about Jesus. I pray as a church that you would grow us in our hospitality, that every one of us in this room would would get a couple or a man or a woman or a neighbor in our lives that you would use us to bring your gospel message to them. And you would help us to overcome our fears. Lord, that you would make us bold as we seek to engage others with you. We pray it and ask it in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen.